Hear the word of the Lord. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is the word of the Lord.
Would you pray with me this morning? Lord, we come before you seeking to know you more. We seek to know your heart and your purpose, and we just seek to glorify you. Open our eyes, open our hearts to your way this morning through your word. Use it to strengthen us, use it to challenge us so that we can know you more. We just love you, Lord. You are an awesome God. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. You know, so we started our walk last week going through this letter that Paul sent to the church in Ephesus. And you're going to notice as we work our way through this scripture this summer that the main focal point of the whole letter that Paul's writing to this church is the body of Christ. It's all about the body of Christ. Everything we're going to be studying over the next couple of months points to how the body of Christ is supposed to work together for the purpose of the glory of God. The body and all of its members, all of the members, come together because no one person in the body has all of the gifts, these gifts that we looked at last week. So we individually bring the gifts that God has blessed us with, using them to bring about God's glory in conjunction with the body of Christ. But also we use our individual gifts as a whole in this world, showing the world the glory of God in everything we do. As I mentioned, this letter points back. I mentioned this also last week. This letter points back to baptism. Matthew 28, this section, this scripture that we all know, known as the Great Commission, starts off like this. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You know, this whole idea of the body of Christ, we're called to come together to show God's glory here amongst ourselves, but we're also called to go out. We're called to make disciples and then baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. One of the ways we do that is, you know, we have kids, okay? So we get our kids baptized and we teach them all the ways of the Lord. But another way we do it, in the bigger way, in the grander scheme, is we go out showing a lost and dying world the love of the Lord. We baptize them and we teach them to obey him. This is a realization that I think is really cool. When you are baptized, you are brought into a body of believers. And all the blessings that come with that are poured out onto you. And we have to remember the body of believers. Who knows what the body of believers is? Anyone? It's us. But it's Christ's body. It's Christ coming alongside us with his spirit pouring out of other believers, helping us, guiding us, challenging us, praying for us. You know, baptism doesn't forgive you of your sins. Baptism doesn't grant you a free pass into heaven like some people think. Baptism doesn't even mean that you are a follower of Christ. Baptism is being brought into the community of believers. It's a covenant. And when we go out making disciples, we baptize them into the covenant with the Lord, but also into the covenant with believers locally and universally. But there's something more important than just that. There's something more important than just dunking someone in water, which there are a few videos out there that are wicked cool with like music, rap music behind them, just going to town dunking people. But baptism is more than just coming into the body of believers. Baptism means after we baptize someone, we're called to teach them to obey everything that God, that the Lord has commanded us. And I think this is sometimes where we lose sight, where we lose track of what our calls are. Because we tend to think in traditional churches, you know, these churches where we baptize infants, we tend to think that by baptizing our kids, they're saved. And that's what you see going on with a lot of people who baptize their infants. Because once their kids reach a certain age and they're able to go through confirmation class and they pass that, once class is over, you see that the family starts to like not come to church as often. And that's because in their minds, their kids are saved. They've accomplished all that they need to accomplish for their kids to make it into heaven. And that's just not true. We're commanded to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and teach them what it means to follow the Lord. And as parents, Karen and I, we did baptize Lydia and Nate. We are responsible, based on Scripture, to teach Lydia and Nate everything that the Lord has taught us. And since we baptize not just into Karen and my relationship with the Lord, we baptize it into the body, the context of the body of Christ, we realize that it's not just Karen and I teaching our kids what it means to follow Christ. It's everyone in here who's in the body of Christ, walking alongside us, walking alongside our kids, showing them what that means, teaching them all that the Lord has commanded, nothing more and nothing less. That is a really cool understanding, knowing that you have brothers and sisters who are going to be there with you through all of this, helping you with the struggle, helping you walk through the doubts you have, because it's not always easy to say, Lord, I believe you. You need the family of Christ to come alongside you. And we all do it to bring about the glory of God. You know, so we have these infants, the people who baptize infants like I do. On the other hand, you have these people who do believers' baptism. And when you've gone through a believer's baptism, which I did as well, we tend to think that by taking that dunk, we're saved. We tend to think that because we went underwater and came back up, that we don't have any other responsibilities now that we have been washed whiter than snow. And that's just not true. Once we've been baptized, and this is why this letter starts off pointing back to baptism. Once we've been baptized, we have to realize that we are called to submit to the authority that God has placed over us so that we can learn everything that God has taught us. But we're also commanded to teach others who are under us. Why? So that we can learn everything that God has commanded us. And so we can go out and baptize more, making more disciples, all for the glory of God. Is there a time, though, that we don't submit to those who have been placed above us? Is there a time where we don't listen to the teachers who are over us in the church? Well, yeah, most of us don't listen to the teacher all the time. We fall asleep in the pew. We walk out the door and we go have lunch and have fun. But is there a time where it's scripturally acceptable not to obey and submit to the teacher who's been placed above you? Yeah, the answer is yes to that. It's found in Hebrews chapter 13, both in verse 7 and 17. And it states there, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." What he's saying here is he's saying, watch your leaders, watch the pastor, watch the elder, watch the deacons. Consider how they're living their life, their faith walk out, and imitate them. But in the next verse in 17... it says, "Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you." Look at that. Imitate your leaders in the faith, because we are the leaders must give an account. That right there, realizing that I have to give an account. I have to stand before God one day and give account for the teachings and the witness I bring in front of the body of Christ as well as out in the world. That scares me. I have to give account for everything that I do in this building. The leaders who are in this building, elders, deacons, trustees, missions team, we have to give an account for everything we do in our faith walk and in our teaching. And if I or the leaders around here allow sin to happen, any way that harms the body of Christ, if I continue to let that happen, I'm going to be standing before God one day, having to give account because I let sin happen in the body of Christ. And that right there is humbling, and it keeps me running to God. Which is why, if those who are over you, if you're ever in a church where those who are over you are not teaching the Word of God, and you come to realize that in your faith walk, you don't have to submit to them. You can walk alongside them and teach them the errors of their way in a one-on-one relationship with the Lord. But if they don't realize that, if they continue to want to push their own form of the gospel, then you're commanded to leave. Jesus said, kick the dust off your feet if they're not willing to hear the word of God. And the reason I went down this sidetrack today, and it's not a sidetrack, it's all about the body of Christ. The reason I went down this today is we are called to be a part of the body of Christ. If you have to leave a church or if you're called somewhere else, you need to come into fellowship with a body of believers. You need to allow God to work through his body with you, but you also need to join that body so you can work with them. We're commanded to. We're commanded to bring the gifts that he has blessed us with to be used in the context of the body of Christ, all for the glory of God. And we need to understand this because we're going to see it all through the book of Ephesians. It's about the body of Christ coming together. If you're a believer, it's about joining with the body so that you can bring the gifts God has given you for God's glory, but also to show all of those around us how awesome he is. And we live in a country where the mentality really is that I can do this faith walk on my own. I don't need the body of Christ in order to be a Christian, and that's just not true. We live in a country where we do everything on our own. Our army slogan used to be all that you can be in the army, and we've changed it to an army of one. It's not about a group of people anymore. It's about one individual. And we feel this way because we've turned into a very self-reliant country, a self-reliant people. And as a part of the body of Christ, we need to realize that we are called to be together in everything we do. We're called to do life together. We're called to bring our individual gifts into the Lord, those gifts that God has blessed us with, and join them with the body. Why? Well, for the glory of God, so that a lost and dying world can see the power that God has, to see his power. But it's more important than just so a lost and dying world can see its power. It's so a lost and dying world might be saved. And as we are going to learn this summer, when we look at what the body of Christ is supposed to look like, my hope for you is that you begin to see that everything we do is all about the glory of God. We bring our gifts here in conjunction with others who have different gifts than you, because we are the body. We are his body here in Parkman. And we do it all for the glory of God. We live in a country where people don't stay in churches for a long time. They don't stay in church for life. And that might be because God has called them out of that church to join with another group of believers. It might be because they've been called to move to another area for work. And in both of those cases, it's true for me. I was called to Ohio. I had to leave because God called me out of the church I was with to come here. So we are called out of different churches at different times. But when we leave this church, if we're called to another church, we have to remember we're supposed to come into covenant with these people. We're supposed to join with them, saying we are a part of this. God has brought us here in order to learn more about God. That's why God moves us. If I move from Boston to Parkman, I am brought here to be in connection with you, bringing my gifts in, learning from you, so we can bring the glory of God all around us. We're called to do this, to use our gifts for God's glory. Some people, though, have taken this this idea of coming to a church and joining the church, and they've turned it into what we call today membership. But this concept of membership that we have in the church today, in 2017, this concept that the church is instituted is not scriptural. This concept is not what Scripture points to. Membership is not joining a church to receive things. Membership is not joining a church to get things. And yet for some reason in our churches in America, we have turned this thing about being the part of the body of Christ into a country club mentality. And we've brought the country club mentality into our church. Now, I'm going down this path for a reason. I'm trying to get into our minds what this whole book of Ephesians is going to look like as we get towards the end of it. And I should have jump-started last week with this. But baptism into the body of Christ so that we can learn everything we're called to learn. We're called to learn everything God has commanded us. Brings us into connection. It brings us into membership in what the true body of Christ looks like. And membership in Scripture, well, it's really a covenant. It's you, because God has brought you coming in and joining, covenanting with a body of believers, bringing the gifts that you have and joining with them for the glory of God. But it's also you coming into a body of believers, continuing to learn everything that we've been commanded to learn by our Lord so that we can go out and make more disciples. Why? Once again, all for the glory of God. And this is why here at Parkman, we're working on wrestling with possibly rewording the Constitution when it comes to membership. We're not going to throw it out. You still have to go through a class in order to become a member, but with this whole idea of the country club mentality in church, we're wrestling with the word covenant. What does it mean to be in covenant with the body of Christ? What does it mean to realize that they grow us? The body of Christ comes together with all their gifts for the sole purpose of glorifying Christ here in Parkman, but also universally. So we're wrestling with that word this summer. And if you are interested in that wrestle, come talk with me or one of the leaders, and we'll sit down and work through it. But this whole letter to the church in Ephesus is all about that. It's all about reminding the church what the body looks like. And Paul starts it with a hymn, reminding them back to their baptism, reminding them to the unity they have in one another, all because of God and how good he is, and reminding them of all that Jesus has done for us. You know, so Paul starts with this concept of baptism, reminding them of coming into the covenant, and he moves on into a prayer. This next section that we're looking at this morning is a prayer. Look at it. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And we're going down this path of membership. And you know something? I am in covenant here at Parkman Congregational Church. In covenant as a part of the body of Christ here, bringing the gifts that the Lord has blessed me with. But I'm also a part of the body of Christ in the whole area. I'm a part of the body of Christ universally. That means I need to bring my gifts wherever God sends me. And last Sunday night, it was really awesome. Will Collins has his worship service once a month at a different church in the area, and last week he invited whoever wanted to come over to Horizons. That worship service is powerful. It's amazing, and some of you I know go regularly. What was different, though, about last week's Immerse service was that towards the end, Will decided to call all the pastors in the room up to the front of the church. And we start walking up and we realize that there are 8 different pastors, all different denominations, joining together at the front of that sanctuary, showing unity, praying over one another. And do you know how cool that was? Eight pastors coming together, not worried about turf, not worried about theology, not worried about anything but the fact that we are unified as brothers and sisters in the Lord, knowing that one day we are going to be standing in heaven next to our brothers and sisters, praising God. Yes, some of us are congregational, some are Lutheran, some are Methodist, some are charismatic, but one day, some are Catholic, one day we're going to be standing before God praising him. And a lot of the time in the church, you see these divisions because of, well, we're the congregational church. And those divisions are being broken. Those things that used to cause it so that we aren't unified are being broken down in this area. And people are starting to see that this area, the body of Christ, is not allowing buildings to divide us. People are starting to realize, they're noticing that there's a difference between these pastors in the area. These pastors who truly want to see unity in their buildings, but around the city, around the town. We are not allowing division to come between us anymore. We want to be the body of Christ here in Middlefield because we want to glorify God in all we do. And that right there is really powerful. I mean, this is what Paul is talking about. Ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord and your love for all the saints, something is happening here in southern Geauga County, and I still have a hard time saying that. Something is happening in Geauga County, and believers are starting to unify. Believers are starting to realize that while we meet here at Parkman Congregational, or they meet at Christ Covenant, or some meet at Horizons, or others at Huntsburg, or the United Methodist Church, or at Abundant Life. People are starting to see that while we might have covenants with these individual bodies, while we're there growing in our faith, using God's gifts all for the glory of God in those churches, we also are seeing something bigger happening. We're seeing the body of Christ across the southern part of Geauga come together. We're seeing the body of Christ unify in a community, showing the glory of God everywhere. And this is what Paul's talking about in this letter, in this opening to his prayer. You love all the saints, and it's known. And he gives thanks to these people in Ephesus because he knows they love all the saints. He praises God for their faith and the love that they're showing the whole body. And then he takes it a step further. These people in Ephesus are a body of believers, and Paul prays not just thanking God for the love that they have over these people and all the saints, but he prays that God will show them more. He prays that God will give them more spiritual wisdom and more revelation. That right there, this is something we as a body of believers need to start praying. We need to start lifting up the whole body of Christ here in Parkman, but all around the area and around the globe. Praying that God shows us more of how great he is. Praying that God uses us in ways that are all about his glory. Now, what do you think would happen in this area if everybody at Parkman Congregational Church, as well as all the different churches around here, what do you think would happen if we all started praying for one another? What do you think what would happen if we all started seeking unity in the body of Christ at all the different meeting houses around this area because we desired to see God's glory come to this area? That's what Paul is praying for here. He knows that this body of believers in Ephesus, he knows they desire to see God's glory, and their desire for unity is evident. Their desire to love one another is evident, and it's just one way that they show God's glory. But Paul also knows that as the body works together to glorify God in all they do, Paul knows that they will start beginning to understand God's heart more. They will start to see how much God truly loves them. When we're sitting there together, eating meals, glorifying God, living life together, sharpening one another, encouraging one another, praying for one another, we all begin to see God working, and we begin to understand how much God loves us. And that's why Paul continues, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. You know, so Paul prays here that the Lord opens the eyes of the hearts of these believers. What if we started praying the same thing? What if we started praying for everyone in this room, every one of us, we started individually praying during the week that the Lord would open the eyes of the heart of everyone in here, and then we started doing it for our families. What if, what would it look like? Lord, open the eyes, open the heart, give these people spiritual wisdom and revelation. And he's talking about brothers and sisters here, and this is encouraging. What if we started doing this for one another, so that we all began to understand the love of our Lord more? Open their hearts. Allow their hearts to be enlightened so that they understand the hope. Do we know the hope that we have? What's the hope that we have? Christ won. We're spending eternity with him. Christ won. He saved us. He did everything, and all we have to do is just follow him. We realize the hope. Richard Cokin put that hope this way. He defined it this way. We might think that Paul wants to tell his readers about what we will inherit from God, of how happy we'll be in heaven. But actually, it's the opposite. Paul wants his readers to grasp the riches, the extravagant, abundant wealth of the glorious inheritance that God has prepared for himself to enjoy for eternity in us. Isn't that staggering? God Almighty, who could have provided anything he wanted for his enjoyment in eternity, has chosen to enjoy forever with saved and sanctified sinners like us. It's mind-blowing. He's chosen, redeemed, adopted, and sealed sinful wretches like us as his children to become the bride for his beloved son. And his plan is to bring us all on vacation into the glories of his eternal rest, to enjoy our company and shower us with abundant blessings forever as his inheritance. That right there, that is amazing. Think about it. God has chosen you. He's redeemed you. You are adopted, and you are a sealed, sinful wretch that he loves, that he plans to enjoy for eternity. Did you catch that one last one? In Richard's description, he plans to enjoy us for eternity. God's plan is to bring us all on vacation into the glories of his eternal rest. This is why we really needed to go through that four-week series on rest, resting in the Lord, because we need to take that word rest and we need to wrestle with it. We need to apply it to our lives. And with the idea of rest, I have to continue asking, do you trust God enough for one day a week to rest in him, knowing that you will spend eternity resting in him? We, those who are followers, brothers and sisters in the Lord, we are God's inheritance. It's not our mansion on a hill, or it's the streets of gold that we have to look forward to. It's spending eternity with the Lord of the universe, experiencing perfect love, perfect peace, and that is hope. That's the hope that Paul is reminding them of here in Ephesians at the beginning. Paul wants the body of believers in Ephesus to realize the unity they have in Christ, the hope they have in Christ, the hope and unity that we should be looking forward to in our Lord. But for some reason, as we will see, digging further into this letter that he wrote, the body wasn't unified. The body struggled. It struggled with traditions. It struggled with legalisms. And I'm once again reminded of what Paul said to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. When division comes into the body of Christ, whether it's in a specific church or amongst the churches in an area, we lose sight on what's important. We lose sight on the fact that God did everything for us. He bought us on the cross. He bought us by dying and going into the grave and rising from the grave. He bought us by ascending into heaven, to be seated at the right hand of the Father. He bought us for a purpose, for his glory. This is why we should be the most joyous people in the world. We should be celebrating every day of our lives because our God is so good. We should be praying for one another here at Parkman Congregational Church, as well as in all the churches in the area, as well as all the churches around the world, continually building one another up. It's why in your bulletin, I left in that place where I leave space for you guys to take notes, there's an application point there. And I realized that there was a typo in it, but it says, pray the content of this prayer for your church, yourself, and one other Christian friend. You know, what if we took that to another level? What if we prayed the content of this prayer that Paul has in there, and we prayed it over our church, our friends, our family, the church in the area, everybody around the world? What would happen if we here at Parkman started praying regularly? Every one of us who's a follower of Christ, I mean, we're congregationals. The reason we split from the Reformed Church was because we, true congregationals, thought that we should be praying about everything. We wanted prayer to be the central focus so that we could seek God in all we do, so that God can be in charge of all we do. Do you think if we got back to our congregational roots and we started praying, that we would see God start doing wonders? Do we think that we would start seeing the body of Christ here at Parkman stand unified as the body of Christ, showing the love and the power of our risen Lord to a lost and dying generation? We brothers and sisters, are called to pray for one another. We are called to encourage one another. We're called to live a life together, building one another up so that we can go out into this world and show the world the glory of our Lord. And it's all for one reason. It's for the glory of God. This is why this prayer right here, but also this whole letter of Ephesians, as well as all of Scripture, points to the fact that we cannot go about this life alone. We can't go about Christianity alone. Because, you know, if you're a follower of Christ, you can't do it by yourself. It's impossible. You can't go to a building once a week and hear the word of God spoken and not see the importance of being unified as the body of Christ. You can't go once a week and hear the word of God spoken and not realize that we are called, every one of us, to be in unity. We're called to go and make disciples. We're called to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we're called to teach them to obey everything that God has commanded. Yet once again, for some reason, the American church has somehow lost sight of this call. And I think it's because we just don't understand. We don't realize the hope we truly have, the eternal life that God has planned to give us. And if we start to realize that hope, then I know that through God's power, we would start showing a lost and dying world the love of Christ. And we would do it because we understand the ramifications, the eternal ramifications of this. And that's why Paul starts reminding them of their baptism. He reminds them of the glory and power and the praise that God deserves, because God deserves all of us. But more importantly, doesn't just deserve us. God deserves the praise. He deserves the glory. This is what we're going to be challenged with this summer. We're going to be challenged with the body of Christ and what that looks like. We're going to be challenged with coming together under the authority of the Father, under the authority of God, realizing that Jesus has commissioned us to go out. And verse 21 here once again reminds us of that great commission. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Jesus is reminding us all the time that he has all authority and he's the one that gives us our salvation. Do we trust in the authority that Jesus has because he went to the cross, because he rose again? Do we trust the authority? Do we know the commission that he's been given to us? That he's given to us. Not all of us are going to be called to go overseas. I know this. You're not. Most of us aren't going to be called to go overseas to bring the good news. But we're all called to bring the good news, whether it's at home or at work or in our communities. And the cool thing is, all authority has been given to Christ, who uses us. That's amazing. We have constant contact with the Holy Spirit because all authority, he's placed the Spirit in us. God gives us the wisdom we need to go out to a lost and dying world. God gives us the revelation we need to commune with him and with the body, constantly reminding us of the hope we have. And that hope is what I want to remind you of today. We have hope. God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head of everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. I want to remind you of that hope. It's why I started off this morning talking about what the body of Christ is supposed to look like. We are called to be one here, but we're also called to be one all over the world, unified together as the body, challenging one another, encouraging one another, waking one another up during the sermon because we're falling asleep. We're called to be praying for one another so that we can all go out and make disciples of all the nations. And that's going to be our challenge this summer. What's keeping you from going out and making disciples? What's keeping you from truly unifying with the body of Christ wherever God has placed you? And like I said, I know for some they've been hurt by a so-called church. They've been hurt by the atrocities that have been allowed to happen there. For others, what keeps them from doing that is they think it's enough just to go hear the spoken word on a Sunday morning. And, you know, sometimes I'm not having the best of day. When I'm not having the best of day when it comes to sermoning, you know, sermonizing, that's not feeding you. I'm trying to bring the word, but some days, I know it, I've felt horrible in the past. You know, so it's not enough just to go on a Sunday morning to hear the word. And for others, they struggle with the mentality that they've seen in the church, this concept of the country club attitude. And that's just not healthy either. So here's the challenge. For whether or not you fall into one of these categories or another one that I might have missed, here's the challenge this summer. Wrestle with the word of God. God is calling you to join with the body of Christ. God is calling you to join with a local church, the church that he's brought you to. So here's the challenge. Pray for the leaders of that church, whether it's here or anywhere else around the country or the world. Pray for the children in that church. Use this prayer in Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. Use this prayer for the leaders, for the children, and also for the people there. Pray that they might gain the wisdom and understand the love that we should have being unified in the body of Christ. But also pray for yourself. Ask the Lord to show you the love that he has for you that only he can give. Ask the Lord to give you the wisdom and the patience and the vision. Ask the Lord to use you. And for those, you know, there are people around who aren't followers of Christ, pray for them too. Pray for your parents and your relatives and your friends and family and coworkers who aren't followers of Christ. Pray that God uses you to stir an affection in there for him. Pray for him. Allow God to give you the wisdom you need to go out and make disciples. Allow him to use you to bring us together unified. And, you know, I'm honestly excited to see what God's going to do this summer as we walk through this series. I know God is at work, and I can see it in all of those around us. Look at all the different churches that are coming together. There are leaders here in this church who see God moving, and they're excited. And my prayer for you is this prayer right here that Paul starts in John 15. Because I know from being here with you over the last 2 years that you guys really do love one another. I know that you love the saints. I know that you guys love the followers of Christ. I see it all the time. You guys hug all the time. And so my prayer for you is that you understand the wisdom and that the Lord give you the revelation. Let us not forget something, though. Jesus promised us all something wicked cool, and we're discussing it in Sunday school right now. He promised us that he's going to be with us forever. He promised us that he's going to give us the wisdom. So imagine with me a group of believers right here at Parkman Congregational Church, starting right here, who desire to glorify God in all things. Imagine a group of believers who said, we're not going to allow things to divide us. Imagine a group of believers right here starting at Parkman who decided that we're going to strive for unity, not just in this building, but around the area and around the world. Imagine with me, all of us here, starting here in Parkman, deciding that we were going to pray and encourage and fellowship with other believers in this building, bringing the gifts that God has blessed us with, so that we can bless all of those around us here and around the world for his glory. So that the people around us here in Parkman see that we're not the same. So they see that something is actually happening here that doesn't look normal. They start to see a movement that only God can bring about. Because we realize that it isn't about us anymore. Imagine when we start to realize that it's about God's glory. What would that look like? Well, it would look like the early church, where people were coming face to face with the living God on a regular basis, having their lives radically changed, because our God is a good God. And so this here, Ephesians, what the body of Christ looks like, coming together, praying, encouraging, wrestling with the word, challenging one another, this is our starting point. We were joking about that the other night in the elders' meeting. It's our starting point. Let's start doing that. Let's realize that we hold one another accountable, that we encourage one another, that if I do something wrong, just because I'm the leader, doesn't mean you don't call me out on it. But on the flip side, if you do something wrong, we call you out on it. Showing the love of Christ in that call. I don't come and I don't start yelling at you and belittling you. I say, look, this is what the Word of God says. What if we started doing that? Loving one another, encouraging. We were talking this morning. When I send Lydia or Nate to the timeout chair, when I punish them, am I punishing them because I don't love them? No. I'm punishing them because I want them to realize what it is so that they don't get hurt, what it means so that they don't get in trouble. I'm punishing them because I love them. What if in the body of Christ we actually started acting like believers? And when someone was struggling, we brought them to Word of God. What if we did it in a way that was actually loving them back to Christ instead of in a way that sent them running, screaming away from us, talking about how horrible we are? It starts here. It starts with us remembering how great God is, and it starts with us praying for those around us. It starts there. Let us pray. Lord, we come before you seeking you, asking that you use your word this morning to challenge us. Lord, your spirit is in us. Use it, Lord. Lord, we need to obey your spirit. Draw us together as a body of believers in this area. Bring unity because we love you, Lord, and we want your glory to be seen all around us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. He is the Lord of all. You know, as we're getting ready to leave this morning, if you are able to stay and help with the trash and treasure sale, setting up tables, bringing stuff down, please join us. It's going to be there's a lot of stuff. It's going to be a good week. If you haven't been to the trash and treasure sale, come check it out Friday or Saturday. If you need prayer as well, please come up front. We have people who are going to be here. Now for the benediction. As we leave this place, Lord, draw us closer to you. Give us the wisdom and the revelation we need so that we can proclaim the name of Christ all around. Holy Spirit, move through us. Give us the strength, because it's through your authority and your own power that people see your glory. In your name we pray, amen.